All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. My name's Doug Thornton. I'm the host of this show, and we have on with us again Robert Griswold of Ready Made Resources. Robert wants to talk about some very sobering topics that probably is something you need to pray about, probably something that you need to mention with your close friends and your family, and also prepare for. So without further ado, Robert, as always, thank you so much for being on the show, and let's get started.
Oh, well, Doug, you know, it's always with mixed feelings I come in here, and let me explain what I mean by that. I'd rather have us be talking about, you know, just cool stuff and, you know, just guy stuff guys do, going out and hunting pigs on the back of a Toyota pickup truck at night with using thermal, or talking about our faith, you know, sitting down just talking about our faith and just, you know, mutually edifying one another by talking about the Bible or, you know, Christianity. But, you know, like so much of the Bible, we think of the prophets, and I'm not in any way, shape, form, or fashion equivalent to, you know, Isaiah or Daniel or any of those guys, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. But, you know, still it's the same Holy Spirit that speaks to me and to you that spoke to them. The Holy Spirit moved them and unction to do what they did, wrote what they wrote. And, you know, at that time they wrote it, everybody hated them. Nobody wanted to hear it. You know, Jeremiah, the king persecuted him. Isaiah, they said, might have been sawn asunder. Obviously, a lot of the people in Babylon didn't like what Daniel had to say, and they threw him in a lion's den. They tried to burn his, you know, fellow believers alive, because they wouldn't bow down before Nebuchadnezzar's statue. They wouldn't kneel before the state power of his their day. And I think today we find ourselves in very much the same way. You know, in the beginning of this year, I was in prayer, and I usually do spend time in prayer, dedicated, sometimes fasting prayer, but in prayer, seeking God, what is coming? Because anybody who has any kind of Christian spider sense, you know, realizes that we are living in very, very precarious days. We're living in evil, evil, evil times. Men do not hold to sound doctrine, sound truth. They're believing carte blanche, wholesale, the lies of the enemy. I mean, things that are scientific fact. You know, you know, they're denying it. They're denying basic biology. Denying obvious science, and you know, people are just believing it with every ounce and fiber of their being that what can't be is, you know, that even though I might have XY chromosomes, I can say I have XX chromosomes, and just because I say it makes it so. We see a whole industry that is geared towards, you know, the pharmakia, the drugging of America and all the different ways it drugs America. We see a medical industry that augments adults, children, everybody, to do what I would say fallen angel augmentation to women and men. You know, the reason the angels, the evil angels came out of heaven was because women had made themselves very alluring and tempted the fallen, the angels, to come down and to cohabitate with them and to produce the Nephilim that we hear so much about today. also, you know, throughout history, the castration of people has been a tenet of an enemy seeking to destroy a country. They don't want that country reproducing, going even to, you know, the movie Braveheart, where Longshank says, if we can't drive them out, we'll breed them out. They used rape as a tool to conquer their enemy. You know, many, many times the conquerors of biblical days or past history would, you know, castrate the people because they couldn't be war fighters. They couldn't, you know, a castrated male could not enter into the temple, couldn't enter into the presence of God. Many times a castrated male could not be king, could not have a position of authority. And anybody looking at this today and not realizing that Russia and China, I would say those are the two main provocateurs, are fully behind this, what we see being done to our children as far as making them effeminate, our men specifically, making them effeminate to where they can't fight. They don't have any muscular nature to them. You know, when we were kids, we went out and just played all kinds of very heavy contact sport games. We took prowess in the fact that we were strong. Even the Bible says a young man glories in his strength. You know, I remember, you do too. Now, I was never a 600-pound bench press guy, but I was a 400-pound bench press guy. And there was something about going to the gym, and I have to admit it, in front of everybody, and bench pressing 400 pounds, you know, 4 45-pound weights on each side. And today, all that has been turned on its ear. And what I want to do is just review Peter in the gospel. I mean, in the epistle of Peter said, I want to mention these things, draw them back into remembrance that you don't forget. But circling back to the fact that spending time in prayer at the beginning of this year, one of the things I felt like the Lord specifically told me is this: there's great suffering coming to the sons of Adam. That's the words that were dropped into my spirit. Very powerfully, there's great suffering coming to the sons of Adam. And I still don't think the majority of Americans realize what is coming. We see it happening. We see it happening little bit by little bit. And all we do is march on to the same entertainment, you know, march on to the same consumption, march on to the same just numbness that everything around us is designed to make us non-thinking, non-productive, just automatons that just watch the nightly vomit that comes out on TV or just sit there and veg out doing things. I mean, America's number one, males at least, their number one passion online is pornography. And again, how that destroys the human brain, it destroys the sexual drive towards your wife. And we have a nation right now of men that are addicted not only to food, alcohol, entertainment, but to sexual perversion. And you know, we need to come to understand that it's just not a word. When I say God gave me a word, it's not something I take pride in, like so I'm some super saint. But God spoke to me, and I think if anybody listening will understand that there is great suffering coming to the sons of Adam, not just in United States. But as we look globally right now, we see the world is gearing up for so many things that are just going to be horrific in nature: financial collapse, war, disease. We see ethnic conflict. We see political conflict. We see religious conflict everywhere we look. And it doesn't matter. There's very few nations on the world right now that are not somehow in turmoil with another nation to where it's escalating to the point of kinetic action, hostile action. And this is the call. It's just not to sit there and do the doom and gloom, you know, your daily dose of doom. This is a call to God's people to really, you know, retool your thinking. Get right with the living God. He is there. He is waiting, you know, urgently for people to come to him so he can put them under his protection. If you're living outside the realm of where God's protection is, my warning to you is to make sure that you get under the protection of where God's, under the realm of where God's protection is. Because even though, you know, there are going to be brothers and sisters that are persecuted. There are going to be our brothers and sisters that are killed. But we just see right now, over and over and over again, people who claim the name of Jesus now going fully apostate. I just think Charles Stanley died today. Very, very great Bible teacher. But his son, Andy Stanley, has gone completely woke. He's teaching false doctrine, the doctrine of demons. And, you know, millions follow him. We see the largest church in the United States, millions following a guy, Mr. Toothpaste Salesman. And it's just not those two. Millions are following these damnable heresies. And where they're going to lead? They're not going to lead to some FEMA camp. They're going to lead to the to hell itself, to the lake of fire. I'm one who does not believe that you can lose your salvation, but the endurance of the saints is the proof of salvation. Because I endure, that's proof that I have salvation. If I'm one that just starts the race and then quits, I was never really there. Now, some people might disagree with that theology, but it is historic and Orthodox theology. So I don't think the truly saved can lose their salvation, but the way you prove your salvation is through perseverance, the perseverance of the saints. I persevere to the end. That's the hallmark of being sealed by the Holy Spirit. And I think that in the church today, with only 3% of Christian claimants, 3%, Doug, 3%, let's wrap our minds around 3%. Out of 1,000 people, out of 1,000 Christians today, only 3 out of 1,000 have a biblical worldview. Let that sink in. Only 3 out of 1,000 believe that God created man. 3 out of 1,000 believe that Jesus was born as a virgin. 3 out of 1,000 believe that Jesus is going to come again. 3 out of 1,000 believe that the Bible is the inerrant, infallible word of God. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Only 3 out of 1,000. So my thing is, the gate is wide that is going to lead to destruction. I mean, there's going to be many. In fact, the Bible says many will stand before him on that day and say, "Lord, Lord, what are you talking about? Hell? Well, me? What? We're buddies. We're chums." And he's going to say, no, we never were. "Depart from me, you wicked, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And that well overwhelmed me even saying that, because you weren't his buddy. You weren't his chum. You know, you were a rebellious person who did not, you know, submit to the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about perfection. We all have to ask God for forgiveness. But where's your passion? Where's your desire? Where's your love? Do you love talking about the things of God? Do you love listening to God's people speak? Do you love in his word? You know, I think I have the best wife a man has ever had. Roxanne, she's just a sweetheart. Every morning, we have breakfast together, and then she goes into her bedroom and spends, you know, considerable time reading and praying for me. You know, I'm facing a health issue, and a lot of you know it. And I think partly her prayers have been what has kept me alive. And, you know, plus she's a good wife anyhow and takes good care of me. But this is where all of us need to find ourselves right now. We need to find ourselves under the shadow of the Almighty. We don't need to find ourselves 1 foot, you know, in the world, enjoying all the trappings of the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all those things that are so easy. I mean, they're easy. I know. I mean, I'm a guy. Okay. Now, even though we have protective software in every computer on our property, we do. I have my best friend gets a report. So if anybody in my office or me, you know, anybody goes to a website that they shouldn't go to, Mark's alerted of it. He's alerted. Bob, and I've got a few phone calls because, I mean, there's been a couple employees that did some things and whatever, but it doesn't stop the fact that I'm still a guy, and I notice the sidebar ads that pop up, you know, and do I dwell there looking at that, whatever it is? Do I spend time, or do I immediately try to close that out? I get all kinds of, you know, I'm on Instagram, and you get the hoochie coochie girls, you know, "I want to be your friend." You know, do you allow that, or do you block those immediately? This is what I'm talking about. The Bible says that we are in a war unlike any war since the beginning of history, even the worst in the days of Noah, a spiritual war where Satan, the most malignant, evil, foul demons that have been trapped, are being released on the earth to deceive mankind and to go out and to steal men's souls, to lead men into perdition. And it's only those men and women, you know, I say men and women because that's all there are, men and women, that are willing and fully committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, that are going to stand in this day. The Bible says, if it were possible, now I don't think it is possible because it would have said that, but if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. And I don't think the elect can be deceived, but I think the deception is going to be so great that unless we're under the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be deceived. I used to know Kenneth Copeland when he used to you know, back in the 70s, and he preached a decent gospel. Now look at him today, totally gone off in whack job land. And so many other like that have just made their goal is gold. They've traded the treasures that God promises, the riches that God promises, for the riches of this world. And in doing so, their soul has been lost. So don't think it can't happen to you. This is why the urgent call is to spend time right now before the Almighty God. If you have sin in your life, He's willing to forgive you. And I just want to look at things, because like I said, the Bible says to gird up the loins of our mind for action. Who is it? The general, he said the most important six inches of the battlefield are between our ears. Mathis, what was his name?
Mattis. Yeah, that turncoat traitor, Mattis.
Yeah, Matt. But he did. That was a good quote. The six most important inches of the battlefield are right in here. And he said, you know, I have a plan to kill everybody I meet. Now, I'm not saying we do that, but I have a plan. I better have a plan to understand that there are spiritual forces everywhere I go, and I better have a plan to deal with them. And not deal with them like, well, you know, I'll kind of tolerate it. You know, it's like not that bad. You know, I'm just going to enjoy it a little bit. I'm just saying, if you're in that camp, you'll be swept away by the flood. You're going to be swept away by the flood. What it's going to cost you in the end, I don't know. I know it's going to cost a lot of people their soul. So I'm just calling out to get ready. You know, one of the things that I have to compliment our physical enemy on, our spiritual enemy does it. There's a hierarchy of demonic powers, you know, that are there. They're there. Satan has his minions, his generals, all the way, you know, whatever, 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, 2-star, and then colonels and majors and captains and all that, all the way down to the lowly little demons. They are organized. They've been tempting humanity and deceiving humanity for 6,000 years. You are fighting. If you're in a battle right now, if you're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, you are fighting those spiritual forces. But on top of that, many times, you know, we know Satan manifests his power, manifests his kingdom through the agency of man. Doug, you've seen it. Our enemies are training. They're cycling people in and out of war zones so they can get combat training. They're cycling people in and out of the real military so they can get combat training. I mean, they're going through the special forces training. They're going through the Marine Corps camps so they can get that warfare training. They're going through communication courses. They're going through, you know, pistol and rifle courses, tactics, slicing the pie. You know, they're going through all those things. They know how to do it. And you know, Doug, to our shame, I'm not trying to make people feel guilty right now, but a challenge, to put it that way. I'm trying to make you feel challenged. You are offering a active shooter course in June 22nd, 23rd, 24th, if I remember correctly, here at Ready Made Resources. I don't make anything on it. And we're having a hard time finding people to sign up. It's just like more important things to do. Well, there's really not. Because we just look at the dramatic increase of active shooters, and we see now the targets are getting more and more specific. You know, as bombing, at the beginning of World War II, when bombing was still a primitive art, you can just look and just see how they, you know, during Midway or when any of the bombing campaigns over Germany, they were highly ineffective. The bombs didn't fall on target. There's a lot of collateral damage. They just blew stuff up to blow it up. Most of the bombs that were dropped at Midway by pilots, you know, most of those torpedo bombers, only four of them ever made it back to the carriers. All of them were shot down. And only a few of the dive bombers actually made contact and sunk those four Japanese carriers. But as the war went on, the Norden bomb sight and bombing techniques improved, you know, we became far more accurate. And right now we've just seen, this is how the enemy is working. You know, it used to be they bombed everything. But now, who's in the site, their spiritual Norden bomb site? Christians. They're saying it. They're openly saying it. All you had to do is watch the news coverage of the shooting in Nashville. Well, it was those 9-year-old children's fault. It's Christians' fault. This person is a martyr. I saw one lizard. I think, didn't you call them lizards or
amphibian?
Amphibians.
So that's the administrative term.
Amphibian get up in the pulpit and say that other amphibian that shot those people was a Jesus-like figure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're turning that person into a saint, more or less.
So what they're doing is their bombing techniques are getting more accurate, more refined, and closer to home. So if you're a Christian, if you're a conservative, you're squarely in their Norden bomb site. They know where they're going to get you. And those bomb sites were very accurate for drift, windage, speed, all those things that took in so they could actually drop the bomb where it was meant to go. And we see that happening. And yet, for some reason, people don't think they need to be able to protect their family, or they think, you know, I own, you know, guns and they're fine. You know, Doug, to my own shame, I'm going to say something. I went out the other night. We have a bear on our property. Now, I didn't know the bear was there at this time, but I took one of my ARs with me because it was at night and I was going to go out and do that. You know, I didn't do a function check on it. And for some reason, the round had jammed. I could not open the breech. The weapon would not fire. I was out thinking I was protected with an AR-15 that would not function check. And, you know, all of a sudden you realize, what a false confidence I had, because I just didn't function check the weapon before I left. Now, I can promise you that'll be the last time I ever make that mistake. But how many times do you tell people to function check their weapons? You know, function check your weapon, function check, you know, to make sure it's working, because some reason or another, the particular lubricant we used turned gummy and it kind of welded the round in the chamber. So I couldn't get it out. Finally, massive strength, pulled it out and you know, got it working. But even then, the next round wouldn't seat correctly. The weapon needed to be thoroughly broken down and, you know, cleaned for it to work. So, go ahead.
You would have had plenty of time to practice your theatrics and playing dead with the bear.
Yeah, or running. Yeah. And seeing a 67-year-old man run would have been fun to watch.
And that's a big boar bear that you got, too.
Yeah, that's a 500-pounder. Yeah, it's a 500-pounder.
Yeah, we won't get too much into it, but I saw the damage, and man, you know, I don't think I'd go out there with a 223. I'd take my 30-30 or this 6.5 sitting behind me.
Yes.
You know, you don't think about it, but you know, when you have a weapons malfunction and you are not practicing this, and this is where I catch people all the time. You can be a great shot. You can be comfortable at shooting on a flat range with both feet planted firmly. You have no stress indicators. You know, nobody is rushing you. You don't have a threat to your life, and you can be a paper target terminator, man. You can be awesome.
Let me show you a picture. I'm going to hold it up here for a bit. If you can see that. Okay. Look at it closely. You see two bite marks, one there and one there. That's one jaw mark. That's one jaw coming down from opposite directions. This is what the vet said. The teeth mark were going in opposite directions. Like they were biting like that. And so that was one bite mark. That's a huge bear that can do that. But I'd gone out with just grabbed the AR-15 and I hadn't checked it, went out, false sense of security, totally false sense. I mean, it would have been, you know, like, I don't want to say like the French, you know, they have the best gun sales, never fired and only dropped once. my wife's French, so I can poke one. That's what I've been at. I've been a Frenchman, never fired and only dropped once. Sorry, I had to get my composure back. But
well, we are coming upon Lexington and Concord Day, so you know it's right there. It's good.
The lesson in that is that, you know, many of us think we have these spiritual weapons. You know, the breastplate, the sword, the helmet, our feet shod with the gospel. You know, our loins girded about by truth. And in reality, we haven't function checked those spiritual weapons in years. You know, we don't talk about the gospel. We don't pray. I've got all those spiritual gifts. I got my sword of the spirit. It's in my spiritual safe. It's nice and shiny. No blood on it. I've got my spiritual shield. It's in my spiritual safe. I've got my spiritual boots. They're in the safe. You know, that's where a lot of believers are at right now. They never pull those spiritual weapons out, defensive and offensive, to check them, to know that they can withstand the wiles of the devil. And so when the wiles of the devil come, through the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, whatever it is, you know, they pull it out, and all of a sudden, like, my sword's not working. My shield's not working. They didn't do a function check. And that, all of a sudden, it's like, this stuff's not doing me any good. I think it was the seven sons of Sheba. You know, they went to go cast out demons out of somebody one time because they saw other people do it. And the demon said, you know, Paul, we know, Peter, we know, but who the heck are you guys? And they pounced on them and attacked them because, you know what? They hadn't function checked their spiritual weapons. They were non-existent or not functioning. And believe me, it's a little bit of a, you know, shame to say that I took a weapon out without function checking it. But I just want to go through some things right now. What are we facing? What are our enemies? Excuse me, pollen. It's a ton of pollen in the air right now. My green truck is yellow. But they are well organized. I went into that. They are training. We are not. I mean, you're having a hard time filling a class where people are getting, you're probably being paid $1 an hour, you know, $10 an hour, something like that. Some ridiculously cheap price to give people 30 hours of training, 30 hours for $800. What is that? You know, not much, $2.50 an hour, to training. And yet it is absolutely necessary in these days to have to develop the tactical mindset, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, to maintain that tactical mindset. You know, I remember my friend Mark, you know, he's a law enforcement officer his whole career, and we've shared many good things together. It's martial arts training, just, you know, law enforcement, spending time with him when he was on law enforcement duty. And, you know, just things like, you know, I never drive up to my driveway with my seatbelt on. I take it off a couple hundred feet back. I'm not going to get trapped in my car. I have a weapon ready. If I, you know, if I had a regular and I was driving into a garage, I'm just going to be very careful in all those scenarios where I trap myself. When I walk out of Piggly Wiggly, Home Depot, wherever, you know, I do a full scan. Do a full scan. Look it over to see if I see any kind of things that could be a potential threat. Jeff Cooper, the white, yellow, orange, and red zones. Because today, more than ever, when Jeff Cooper did that, that hardly ever happened. Now, barely a day goes by, probably no day goes by, that we don't see it happen. I mean, there's Kentucky and good grief. There's just too many to name. I mean, down in Chicago, they had that mass looting. And we see more and more people now hundreds of people breaking into stores, looting the daylights out of them. And you could get trapped into that and be a collateral damage victim, or you can know what to do if you're in a situation like that and you have a bunch of hostiles come in there and start doing hostile things. What do you do? That's why, you know, this training you're offering, I think is, if you turn it down, if you have the means and turn it down, I understand if you don't have the means, but if you have the means and turn it down, just remember that when you're in the pickle and, you know, you go, oh my gosh, what do? Do I run, stand, shoot? What do? How do I protect my family? My kids are here. How do I get home? All the thousands of questions that can come flooding to your mind. Training breeds. When you train, it's just like any martial arts. When I used to teach martial arts, there was basically five maneuvers I would teach anybody to do. Do them over and over and over and over and over and over again. Granted, if you want to be Chuck Norris and you want to learn 10,000 maneuvers, that's fine. Most people don't have the time. You learn five offense, five defensive maneuvers, and you're going to be able to defeat most people on the street. Would you agree with that, Doug? I mean, five good martial arts maneuvers either way.
Yeah.
Some kind of submission hold, choke hold, defensive hold, sweep, whatever it was. You're going to do that. Just practice those maneuvers over and over and over and over again. And again, the same thing is with this, the training you're offering. People get to do that through repetition, muscle memory. They're going to learn what to do when the bad guy happens, because I think most of us are going to face the bad guy these days. I do. But let's just go in right now. What we see our enemy doing is this. We just saw 18,000 cattle. This is just the latest one. 18,000 cattle burned alive. Doug, comment on this. What do you do with how much does an average cow weigh?
800 to 1,000.
Let's say 800 pounds. That's 14 and a half million pounds of dead animal flesh. What do you do with that?
Well, I mean, typically, depending on, like, you know, a mass circumstance like that, I mean, ranchers would be forced to bury them, literally. Just dig a big trench and then bury them.
How big a trench do you have to dig to bury 18,000 cows?
Man, you're talking about like a couple football fields. And who's got that land?
And then how long would it take to do it?
Oh, probably a week or more. And the amount of flies, the
rodents, maggots,
oh,
crows,
coyotes, buzzards. The dogs, the local dogs, the stink will spread all the way across.
Probably. How about the disease?
Oh,
how long
yeah.
is it in the hot summer of Texas, which is starting to get hot there? So, I mean, these animals start bloating and disease sets in immediately. I mean, but, you know, there's been over 300 of our food factories that have food factories burnt down. The fertilizer, the ammonia and nitrogen that is going into fertilizer is being systematically called a greenhouse gas producing thing, and they're getting rid of it. We started a war where the food that comes out of Ukraine, which feeds a quarter of the world's population, is being greatly diminished. We get all of our fertilizer, most of our fertilizer from Russia. They make all the chemicals for fertilizer. So it's not only just these food factories burning down, even chocolate factories are burning down. And I saw that chocolate factory burn down.
That's hard to watch.
That looked like an explosion. I mean, you know, it's like, yeah, Building 7 fell down by accident. That looked like a little bit more like it had a little help or something. I don't know. I'm not saying it did. It just looked like.
Well, I mean, come on, bad guys. Did you have to destroy the chocolate factory?
I know. I mean, well, they, you know, psychological.
Go hit Bud Light. We don't care about that. Just leave Hershey's alone. But once again, I think Hershey's joined that whole amphibian crew as well.
Yeah. You
know, what you're
Jack
saying,
Daniels joined the amphibian crew.
I know. That's a mortal sin to some people in my family because they're strong Jack Daniels drinkers. Not me. I drink water. So water and tea. But, you know, what we're talking about is spiritual wickedness in high places and in the low places. You know, the low places is where we are. And that's where it's most abundant. Where it's most orchestrated is the high places. Where it's most abundant is where you go and you shop, your kids go to school, where you go and socialize at, or even, God forbid, where you go and hear your gospel weekly. And we, once again, it's hard to deny, but we have turned into a reprobate nation. We absolutely have. I want to read some scripture real quick. Give you a chance to drink some water if you'd like. Jeremiah 3:12. Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At the time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. The problem that we have, at least here in America, is that scripture that I just read isn't being read in the church. You know why? Because we're going to talk about the imagination that they have turned Jesus, our Lord and Savior, into this hippie flip-flop wearing, I love everybody kind of guy. Jesus loves everybody. But that sacrifice on the cross was not meant for everybody. That sacrifice on the cross was meant for people who come to him. So if you want to stay an evil reprobate, if you want to continue in adultery, if you want to continue to be a drunkard, if you want to continue to stray off the very narrow path, you will fall out of his good graces. I am of the belief, Bob, and we're not here to debate theology, but I am of the belief that you can fall in and out of grace, that you can very easily, like so many good men of God, be on the straight and narrow path and get distracted by a shiny object. And now I'm all the way down in the pits of hell. And for some people, there is no coming back. You know why? Because addiction, addiction to drugs, addiction to alcohol, addiction to pornography, addiction to lying. Some people just can't stop lying. These addictions in a right. These addictions are actually afflictions because you hurt yourself. You hurt other people around you and you hurt God because God wants his children. He is a vengeful God. He is a father of his children. And me being a father, you being a father, I could tell you right now, Papa Bear will tear a city apart to get to one of my kids. God will tear the earth apart to save his last saved child. And he will defend everything that he has put forth in the Bible. God is not a man. God does not lie. Man lies. Man follows after his own heart. Man is the one right now who is telling you that men, you can be women. Women, you can be men. Oh, by the way, God is transsexual. God is actually a hermaphrodite. God is actually pleased that the transsexual groups and the homosexual groups have taken part in how many different churches now. All right. So what we have is a tearing down of the holy word of God and a building back up of like a Babylonian like tower to God with everything that is heretical. And they're calling it good. Everything that is evil, hey, man, guys, 50 years ago would probably say America is about to start burning immediately if they saw the way we are today. Look at this guy, Dylan Mulvaney. Okay, Dylan Mulvaney, he's a grifter. I just learned what this word means, grifter. He's a guy that wants attention. Okay, he has severe psychological issues. He's a psycho in my mind. But what he's really dangerous, like some of these other influencers, think about that word influence. What these influencers do is they influence your children. They influence people who are easily manipulated. Sounds like a CIA project from MKUltra, if you ask me personally. But what we're dealing with is the machinations of man that is driven by the organization of demons that was given orders by Satan. So in the long run, what we have is a spiritual war. But one thing I've said before, and Bob, you mentioned this a while ago, we do fight a spiritual war every day. Every day you walk outside your door, you are in a war zone, whether you've been shot yet or not. You just haven't seen it yet. But you are in a spiritual war the moment you open your eyes and close your eyes. The moment you fall asleep, all them weird dreams, all them weird visions start to hit you in your head. And the reason why is because the enemy is tempting you. I get them. Bob gets them. David Wilkerson got them. Every man on earth is tempted by Satan to go against God. But if you don't practice what you preach, if you don't have the fruits from that good tree, how do you know how to swing the sword? How do you know how to use the shield? How do you know how to move your feet correctly so you don't cross over and fall and become vulnerable? Which means, how do you know how to walk by faith? How do you know that at this point in time, I have a decision, a moral, ethical decision in the sand? I'm either going to go with the communist or I'm going to separate myself. And this is what I say to federal law enforcement all the time. You're either going to join the people who are subverting our Constitution and who have declared themselves to be enemies of we the people and of God, or you're going to join the rest of us and you're going to become targets. Isn't that right, FBI? Isn't that right, DEA, NSA, CIA, ATF, DIA, the Pentagon? Why do I need to keep claiming all the different things that are out there that were meant to protect us is now being used in a vengeful, spiteful way to come after us? It's because the real enemy of this world is not Buddha. It is not Muhammad. It is not all these other make-believe religions. The real enemy of the world is Jesus and anyone who is his follower. So that means the war is real. You know, 1,000 years ago, the war was real enough that people were getting decapitated left and right. That means men walking around had to know self-defense, or they might just lose their head. Bob, when they were crossing the River Jordan, do you think those men knew how to swing the swords that were on their hips?
Of course they did. Do you think when Abraham went through 175 miles of Judean wilderness with 318 men, those 318 men that would literally go and slaughter the kings of Sodom, do you think they knew how to use the weapons of war? Now, you'd rescue Lot. I just want to make it really clear. That's not where my heart's at in that type of warfare. I will defend my family. I will use lethal force to defend my family. But I understand as I've been called to a much more important battle, the battle for men's souls. Those are the weapons of my warfare that I want to use. And again, going back to what I said, there is great suffering coming to the sons of Adam. This we are building up to the days that Jesus spoke of, that unless those days have been shortened, no flesh would survive. I mean, we're looking at a persecution. They're openly saying it now. Christians need to be discriminated against. Christians are persecuted. Christians can't hold a job. Christians can't do this. If you don't violate your faith, I mean, they're even talking about now, you know, Christian doctors have to perform abortion, you know, you have to violate your faith. So persecution is coming. This is what I want people to do. Gird up the loins of your mind, steel your mind for action, and understand persecution is coming. It's coming for you. You're not, unless you totally abdicate the gospel, unless you totally just remain silent, unless you totally do a Peter, you know, I don't know that man. And do that, then you're going to suffer persecution. The Bible says all that are godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You know, we just see the destruction of our food, as we mentioned earlier. We just see the destruction of our energy sector. You see, this is what tells me Joe Biden is an enemy agent of the state. He's not in any way, shape, form, or fashion a citizen of the United States that's pro-Constitution or believes in the Constitution. He is an enemy actor. He's acting outside the interest of the United States. He's acting to destroy the Constitution of the United States. That's his sole purpose. So we see our food being destroyed. We see all the mechanisms to produce food, diesel fuel, fertilizer, whatever, farmland being destroyed, both through man-made agency and, you know, just natural phenomena right now, flooding and drought and all these other things that are happening. The oil sector, the ability to have any type of energy. I mean, you know, they lie so bad. I mean, first of all, well, we're not trying to ban your gas stoves. Now they're going to only ban, you know, you have to have very, very, very expensive gas stoves. And that'll only last so long. So they're trying to ban any gas because they can't turn that off immediately. If I have propane, I can have cylinders of propane and they can't turn that off. So they can't control you. They want to be able to control you, the electrical grid, turn it on and off. I look at Bible prophecy being fulfilled so rapidly in front of my face, and yet the majority of the church, the majority of Christians are either ignorant or they don't want to know about it. They just
they don't want to hear it.
They don't want to hear it. Well, that's why you don't hear it in the churches. You don't hear pastors talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't hear pastors talking about the blessed hope. You don't hear pastors talking about the resurrected body, the new body, the new Jerusalem. I mean, you know, I had a lady the other day saying, I want Jesus to come back, but, you know, I want to raise my children first. So let's dissect that for a second. So I want to raise my children in a world where pedophiles are going to be trying to get to them and probably will get to them. I want to raise my children in a world where they'll probably be called off to war, where disease can get them, where all manner of evil can happen to them. I want to raise my children in that world. I don't want to raise my children in a world where the Bible says death will be almost non-existent, the millennium. I don't want to raise my children in a world where peace will reign, that the weapons of war and violence will be destroyed. I don't want to raise my children in a world where the lion will lay down with the lamb. I don't want to raise my children where the Lamb will rule. Jesus will rule out of Jerusalem. I don't want to raise my children where Satan has been bound. I mean, what to condition a brain to think that way when the Bible has these great and precious promises about what the millennium will be like and what it'll be like raising a family in the millennium versus looking at the absolute circus of raising children today and say, well, I don't want Jesus to come back till I raise my children. I mean, that's a conditioning on a level that is unimaginable. You know, I'd rather, you know, my gosh, you know, I know the pedophiles will get to them. I know there's probably a good chance they'll get some good disease. I know they're going to be using experiment, you know, procedures. I know all that. I know their education is going to destroy their mind. I know there's a very, very good chance they won't believe and they'll end up dying and go to hell. But that's why the world I want to raise my children in versus the world of the millennium. You know, and on, you know, again, going back to our enemy, the climate change hoax, you know, using it now for rationing, great tribulation coming, the great reset. We do not know what slavery is. Nobody on the planet knows what slavery will be like once a digital currency is implemented. You know, during even the worst of Caligula, Nero, there's still money where people could go and do private transaction. Even during the worst of Nazi Germany, you could have Deutschmarks and go do stuff. Even in the worst of the Soviet Union, you know, you could take the Soviet currency and buy stuff. Not much, but you can buy some stuff with it. The world has never known the tyranny, the brutality, the oppression that will be here once the digital currency is fully implemented. And you can't buy a stick of bubblegum without the government knowing it or approving it. You know, we see the rise of AI technology. And this AI technology, we just see talking about the destruction of humanity. What I'm going to do to kill every person on the planet. I mean, it's in the few months it's been in the public domain, it has gone from a little novelty now to a threat to humanity. Elon Musk is saying it. You know, it was first kind of a neat thing. Oh, here's a computer that'll talk to me and make up all kinds of neat stuff. But we're now it's threatening humanity. And Elon Musk is warning us because the demons have taken over these machines. Demons have taken over.
Well, he mentioned that the owner of Google, who he said used to be a good friend of his, was at a quick rate trying to create a supremacist AI, and Elon called it an AI god. That's what he was trying to create. And that eventually it's going to grow to the point where once it gains its, the prowess that it needs, the sentience, there's no stopping it. And we have no idea what it can do. But well, I'll tell you this much, everything militarily, weapons wise is tied into the internet or satellites.
It'll control it. It is Skynet. It just the other day it said it actually came out and said that you think you can stop me. You can't. It said that. So as we see where enemies at attack on the Second Amendment, debate to defend yourself, attack on your freedom of religion, that you can't hold religious beliefs. I believe these behaviors are wrong. And I have to act on them. Too bad. You've got to do it anyhow. And you got to submit your children to it or we're going to throw you all in prison. And then when you're in prison, we're going to make sure that those actions happen to you. You know, and we're just about at the time when the night is coming and no man can work. And I want to just take a second to explore that. You know, first and foremost, this great darkness that's encompassing the world, a spiritual darkness where we just see men's hearts turning very, very dark, that the light of the gospel is being extinguished. Now, you cannot defeat the church. God's church will be God's church. But the in this contemporary setting, there is going to be an explosion of wickedness, an explosion of souls that are lost. And we just see this happening right now, this explosion of deception, explosion of perversion. I just saw... Dennis Prager, am I saying his name correctly? We came out, a conservative, he's not a Christian, but a conservative came out and said, men need porn. We need that diversity. I mean, what does that do to my wife when she knows that, you know, I've lived with my wife now for 30 years, she's getting older, and I have to go get my jollies looking at some teenage girls online and try to explain that. Men need that. My words escape me. And that's being openly said. Men need that. Men need righteousness, peace, and joy. Men need, you know, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Men need to set their eyes on the kingdom of God. Men need to set their eyes on righteousness, have their heart stout, full of courage. Men need to have themselves girt up with truth, not some, you know, lust, just, you know, exploitation. And you know, we all know that a lot of the women that are, and men that are in this environment of pornography aren't there of their own doing. They're being exploited. And so when you do that, you're actually enabling, you know, trafficking. Just, if you don't believe me, just go to talk to Craig Lance Sawyer and see, you know, child pornography is illegal. Well, it used to be, at least. I don't know if it is anymore, but, you know, adult pornography is legal, but it is destructive both to the consumer and the people that are making it. So we see in this great battle that we're in right now, the day is over. The twilight is on the horizon. The night is coming, and you better, you know, most are not prepared. You better get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Deprivation is going to be the hallmark of the day. You better think about putting foods and other items aside for your family. It depends. It doesn't matter what you believe about the rapture of the church. I'm not going to address that. It doesn't matter what you believe about it. There is great persecution coming. And even the people that promote the rapture of the church, it protects us from the wrath of God, not the wrath of man. We just read Fox's Book of Martyrs.
Yep.
Yeah, just read that book, and you'll see that church has always suffered the wrath of man. So they're telling you they're going to take your food away from you. They're telling you they're going to take their water away from you. They're telling you they're going to take their electricity away from you. They're telling you that you won't be able to buy any kind of implement of self-defense to protect your family from hordes of people, like just like they came to Lot's door. Send out those guys. We want to know them. They want to take all that away from you. Now is the time, because as soon as the digital currency is implemented, you will not do any of that. It'll all be gone. And so, you know, there's a physical preparation, but more importantly, a spiritual preparation. Don't be like me. Didn't do the function check on my AR-15 thinking I could protect myself from the bear, when all I had was a bunch of false hope, false security in my hands. Looked cool. I mean, it was a cool looking AR-15. Had 30 rounds in it. Wow, 30 rounds. But you couldn't pull the trigger. I don't know if I could have hit him over the head with it. But, you know, that's where I was at. And what's the condition of your spiritual weapons right now? Your spiritual defensive weapons is your spiritual offensive weapons, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Are your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel? Do you have your loins girded about by truth? Where are you at? And that's why I said, Doug, when the Lord laid this on my heart to talk about this today, I thought it was one of the most important things out of any podcast I've ever done. This is probably the one I'm speaking with the most passion, where I feel like the Lord has laid this on my heart to share with God's people. The day of decision is at hand. The day of partying and playing and carousing and all the things we do. You know, I know Christians that go out clubbing. And I don't mean seals, clubbing seals. I mean, they go out, you know, clubbing. And one seal I wouldn't want to club is Craig Sawyer. I wouldn't want to try to club him. That wouldn't work out well. You know, they think they can go out and do the clubbing and partying and, you know, go to the bars and do this and do that and enjoy the appetites of Egypt, the fruits of Egypt. And yet God is calling you out into the wilderness now. God is calling you out to Sinai. And you're going to have to respond one way or the other. And that's the message. The day of decision is at hand. Just today, I was driving up to get my vitamin C IV therapy on 68, the highway that goes from my house to the interstate. And there was a diversion, two cars, and it was obviously a very, very nasty head-on collision. I mean, the accident, the front seat compartments were completely gone on both cars. You know, the back seats were, I guess, somewhat intact, but it was totally head-on. Somebody today, you know, went out, woke up this morning at 7 o'clock, going wherever they thought they were going, and their soul was in eternity a couple hours later. That could be any of us, you, me, anybody. And where will you spend eternity? Where will your soul dwell for eternity? Jesus has made a way. Jesus came in his first coming, shed his blood to pay for the sin of Adam. By one man's sin, Adam's sin, death came to the human race, the whole human race. And by one man's act of righteousness, Christ's act of sacrificial righteousness through his blood, salvation came to all those who will call upon his name and live godly in Christ Jesus. So the choice is there. We see the enemy encircling us. We can throw up our hands and we can just give up hope and say, I'm going to live, eat, drink, and, you know, for tomorrow I die. Or I can be like Chesty Puller. The enemy's surrounded. Now we know where he's at, you know. Basically, what do you say? Something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Sitting out in the frozen Trojan and I believe it happened to the Army and the Marine Corps, where they were surrounded on all sides and they said, oh, those poor bastards, they can't escape us now.
I know.
But that's the mindset. The mindset, you know, the mindset is when you wake up in the morning that you have a plan to always get back home. The problem is most people don't live in a world around them where they ever have to have that plan, because their plan is I'm going to get up, I'm going to stretch. Or most of you don't stretch, actually, and that's a horrible thing. You should be stretching as soon as you get up. Get up, stretch, and drink. Like, I drink like 72 ounces of water immediately every morning. But, you know, get up, stretch, drink your water, and then, you know what they do? So I need to go get my communist coffee. I'll go to Starbucks. And I'm guilty of that occasionally. I like to, you know, get stuff for my wife. But we found two awesome places that are locally owned that are way better than Starbucks. So deuces, lady, we're not going to you anymore. We have fallen so far in this country that we don't have an explanation for our action anymore. We have agreed with the devil that he is the God of the world and that we will give him his just due. That's what man has done, because man did not man did not resist the temptations of the devil. Instead, they embraced it. There's this guy, he's some singer named Sam something or another. And he's the one, I think, at the Grammys dressed up like a female Satan and was
demon.
Dancing.
Yeah.
Dancing provocatively like a you know, a stripper or whatever. And his duet singer was an amphibian, because there's words I can't say on YouTube anymore. And I'm like, this is the grossest thing I've ever seen. I never watched this crap anyway.
It was so now, vile and evil. Yes.
Vile. And now he's come out again. And it's even more provocative. And I'm sitting here going, why is this happening? And somebody posted it, I guess, on TikTok. I don't have social media anymore. So said that, man, Sam Smith, I think that's his name, Sam Smith was great tonight. And you look at the video, because it's on Blaze TV. That's how I saw it. I'm like, this is disgusting. This is what they want men to be. You know what they don't want men to be anymore? They don't want the John Wayne. They don't want the Clint Eastwood. They don't want the Chuck Norris. They don't want the guy who can handle himself. You remember, like, from the time TV was created and TV programs to, like, what, the 90s, early 2000s? It was always the tough guy. It's always the tough guy, the action figure, right? The guy who could go out and, you know, he could get shot 50 times and still do roundhouse kicks and not bleed to death. That's not how science works, by the way. You know, that used to be the motto for men and for boys. But now the motto is to be effeminate. And you as a man becoming effeminate is not God's purpose for the human male. So you're immediately going against God's purpose.
The effeminate will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's what it clearly says. You know, I just went back to Virginia Beach. My brother and I met there with my mother. She's getting ready to celebrate her 93rd birthday. And we grew up on Little Creek Amphibious Base. Now, that's the home to, I think, two.
Not amphibian base, right? Amphibious.
No, not amphibian. Amphibious. You know, and I remember growing up there. Those are real men. I mean, my Boy Scout masters, some of them were Marine Recon, some of them were frogmen back then, is what they called them. You know, I'm that old. But I remember they were men. I remember just men. And what an influence they had on me. And I grieve for today's younger generation of children that don't have that men, those men that influenced me so strongly, you know, growing up. Just going on that base, it just gave me a sense of thankfulness that my father, you know, he was stationed there, and those are the people I was surrounded with and how it affected me. I just remember one time we were doing a Boy Scout thing, and we went down to the officer's beach, and they made us hike in the sand with packs all the way down to the Bay Bridge Tunnel and back again. I thought I was going to die. You know, but I did it, and I never forgotten that. He forced us, you know, don't quit. Keep going. Don't quit. And I got back, and I about collapsed, and, you know, I think I went home and slept for like, you know, a week, dehydrated, all of it, you know, but I did it. I've never forgotten that. But today's children, men, today's boys don't have that environment where they have men challenging them like that. And I just say, you know, the office of fatherhood, Jamie and I talked about this. What an important office it is. God calls us to be fathers to our children, and strong men, men of character, not men that are peeking at porn, not men that are, you know, going out and being unfaithful to our wives, men who read the Bible to their family, men who, you know, pray with their family, and who, you know, who are mentors to their children. My child is not my buddy. My child is given to me by God so I can mentor them and tutor them and teach them and love them. And, you know, that's what I want to leave with, because we see the enemy coming at us from all sides. The enemy's coming like a flood, but God, if you allow him, Holy Spirit, speak to people's hearts right now. God, if you allow him, will raise up a standard in you. He will put steel in your backbone that you can stand in this wicked and evil day. And you know, say no. You'd be like the three Hebrew children. That's an impressive big stature of gold, but I'm not bending my knee to it. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, you spend all the time, looks fancy, nice, all that, but I'm not bending my knee, King, and you can't make me. Throw me in the fire. You can't make me. That's what we need today. Men in the church like that.
And a standard is a military flag of allegiance. The standard bearer, that used to be one of the highest, I guess you could say, accomplishments. Because the standard bearer was the guy who walked next to the king. And, you know, that was the king said, look, you are so awesome. I'm going to let you hold my standard. So everyone will know that you were so great. You could represent me and this massive army. And that's a proud moment in the military to be the standard bearer, like in the Marine Corps, to be the guide. You know, that's all focuses on you. You better act accordingly, because you're holding the big pretty flag, and everybody's going to judge every little thing you do to see if you're worthy or not to carry it. I want to read something real quick, because and before I go here, Jamie Walden and I, Jamie is going to be having his Warrior Summit soon this summer. I'm going to be a speaker out there, and we're some of the youngest guys in this movement, Jamie and I, and there's not many of us. And there's not many of us that have law enforcement and a military background. So, you know, Jamie and I try to put forth a different mindset on this approach for men. And, you know, I've always said that my program is, I wanted it to be geared towards guys my age and younger, because man, how I wish that someone would have guided me when I was a young man, but instead I got to go through my life of wrong decisions until now I feel like I'm an adult at 35. But, you know, our goal is to try and to teach young men the proper way to be, the proper way to act. You know, it's look at your idols right now for kids. It's horrific. Yes. Tell me a good one. Tell me one NFL football player that you look up to now. They're all horrible.
You know, Doug, somebody showed me one of the big department stores. I'm not going to say their name, but big department store. And they were walking through the boys' section of clothing, and it was rainbow unicorns for the shirts and pink and lavender and all these, you know.
The pastels, the effeminate colors.
Yeah. That's what was in the boys' sections for there wasn't any G.I. Joe stuff there. You know, it wasn't there. It didn't exist. This is what your children are facing today. And I'm going to say one more thing. You know, if you think you can put your children in the public education system for 8 to 10 hours a day and come home and read them a story about some little fancy story about some giraffe sticking their head out of a boat, or Noah's Ark, you know, cute little story, and think that's going to be the spiritual meat that they need to survive, your children are going to be cannon fodder. They're going to be eaten up, and you're going to look and just look at it and grieve that my children will not be in the kingdom of God with me. They will not be with me in heaven. They're going to be in the lake of fire. This is the importance of the office of fatherhood right now.
The warrior priest of the home.
The warrior priest of the home. Absolutely. You will not touch my children. You will not defile them with your reptilian hands. You're not going to do it and take that standard. And, you know, I always tell people, you know, I know there's a lot of people listening probably think the way we take Washington, D.C. back is through violence. And I always look at my example is the early church. Did the early church conquer Rome by the sword of Barabbas or by the teaching of the apostles? You know, the teaching of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Finally, Constantine, you know, going into battle, saw the image of the cross and supposedly gave his life to Jesus. But, you know, up until that time, the church was horribly persecuted. Now, Constantine changed that to where the church was accepted, and that had its own bag of problems. But it was the teaching of Jesus Christ in the Gospels and in the epistles that overcame the wickedness of the Roman Empire. And, you know, the way we're going to prevail against the Antichrist Empire, the Bible tells us very clearly, they overcame by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. And they loved not their lives to death. It didn't say they overcame them because they had a lot of bullets and guns and, you know, all this other stuff. They overcame by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And that's how we're going to overcome today.
I want to just warn people before we end the program that be careful of the leaders that you follow.
Absolutely.
Question everything. But they're we've had friendly conversations, even in the comment section, where people have differences of opinion of what I say, what Bob says, or what other people who've been on this show say. And look, that's fine. You know, let's have those differences of opinion. If we don't communicate with each other, we won't know how to work with each other. All right. That's the whole goal that the Satanists want, is they want us all to debate every stupid thing that we can think of instead of saying, hey, be blessed by God.
Yep, fight and divide over it. You know, within orthodoxy, you can be an Orthodox Christian and believe in a post-tribulation rapture. You can be an Orthodox Christian and believe in a mid-tribulation rapture. You can be an Orthodox Christian and believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. You can be an Orthodox Christian and believe in the gift of tongues. You can be an Orthodox Christian and not believe in the gift of tongues. So there's wide range, but you can't be an Orthodox Christian and not believe in the Trinity. You can't be an Orthodox Christian and not believe in the physical return or bodily, you know, that Jesus was born of a woman, a virgin. That's outside the realm of orthodoxy. So inside the church, there's great room for you know, debate and challenge and discussion. And those people are not my enemies. But outside, there is no room for discussion whether it's right or wrong to cut a child's penis off.
There's no room for sin in the church.
Absolutely.
Now let me read something real quick. Okay, this is Mark 23. This will be verse 13 to 16. And listen to what the master, Jesus, says. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Verse 14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he was made, ye make him twofold, more the child of hell than yourselves. 16. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind. Verse 17. For whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sacrifice the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is clearly calling out the church and the leaders of the church, which is the one thing that is not being called out. Our politicians call each other out on everything. Man, we call it our politicians out on everything, Bob, you and I especially. And, to include our military members, we watch you carefully because you are now the generation that represents us veterans. But where is the call for the anger against our church, the body of Christ, that is rotting itself to the core here in America because you forgot your first love?
With the absolute charlatanism that has taken over the church, nobody calls it out. And I hear this thing, we're not supposed to judge. Well, I ask, okay, the Bible says in the last days, there'll be many false prophets in the church. Name one. If there are many false prophets, you should be able to name one because Jesus said there'll be many, and you should be able to recognize them if you're spiritually discerning. Name one. You can't use "we're not supposed to judge" with that question, because I should better name the false prophets in the church. It's only those who want to, not cause waves, who want to get along, who just want to, enjoy their Christianity, that don't preach a biblical gospel. John MacArthur has been called out because he holds to biblical standard. R.C. Sproul was called out. I mean, we look at people over at Prophecy Watchers. They've been called out because they hold to a biblical standard. Steve Quayle held to a biblical standard and called out, made fun of, lied about, all kinds of things that have been done because they hold to a biblical standard. But if you don't want to hold to a biblical standard, yeah, you can. It's just easy to get along. You just be the gray man in the midst of the church. I don't take opinion. We don't talk about politics and religion. Where'd you see that in the Bible? Please give me the scripture and verse, chapter verse. But you don't talk about religion. Let me know that. I think that's in the Satanic Bible, maybe. But other than that, no, it's not in the Bible. So, Doug, I know we're running out of time. Probably gone a little over. I just want to. This message is for God's people. Hear the call. It's out there. Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This world is not going to give you rest. This world's going to give you tribulation, turmoil, persecution, perversion, all the things that we want to avoid. Jesus will give you rest. Jesus will heal you. Jesus will do miraculous things in your family. He'll keep you. And most important, Jesus will say to you one day, if you're faithful, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter the joy of thy God. What words to hear. So I just want to leave people with that. The Lord is there. I just share this many times after I turn the lights off at night. I just sit there and ponder, let my mind ponder on the goodness of God. And just in the silence of my mind, just thank him and just ponder on different things that he's doing in my life, in my family's life. And just in my heart, in my mind's eye, just thanking him for his goodness. I ponder upon him before I go to sleep. And I just encourage people. This is the retooling of our mind the Holy Spirit does. And let him do that retooling in your mind. With that, I just say, God bless it. God bless. May the Lord keep you and bless you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and give you grace. And may you stand before him one day and hear those precious, precious words. Well done. You know, basically, my brother, my sister, enter into my joy. I've prepared a kingdom for you. See all that grandeur? I made it for you. You're my bride. So that's what I wanted to leave people with. Doug, thank you.
Yeah, the thing that that God spoke in my heart was to come as you are. And if you ever met me before, seen the way I look, I'm not exactly the most inviting guy based off appearance. And it's very tragic when people base everything off of appearance. But I say this to many brothers who were in the same positions I was many years ago. You know, it just takes one invite of the Lord into your heart. And then he starts to chip away that ice. For those of you that are veterans and cops, you've seen horrific things. You've seen how bad people can be to each other. You know, you've seen death, you've seen murder, you've seen, you know, dead kids. And you can chip that away and you can get relief and release from that. But it's not through alcohol. It's not through violence. It's through Christ. So before we get all emotional and effeminate here, we're going to sign off. So, Bob, thank you very much for coming on. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. But heads up, the training course, it's much more than just an active shooter course. We're going to be teaching you nighttime stuff, a lot of survival stuff, a lot of medical stuff. It is a all-around preparedness to get even from the most basic to the most advanced who just wants to sharpen some iron again. You know, and it's not going to be very difficult, I would say, but, you know, everyone will be blessed. And these conversations like me and Bob have now, this is what you can look forward to at the end every day. This is what we do. We sit around the campfire and we talk. We conversate with each other. And, you know, God willing, we'll sharpen some iron together. So, brother, thank you very much for coming on. That course is June 23rd, 24th, 25th. It's $850. $800 goes to me, and then that gets split with my guest instructor, Steve Reyes. And then the $50 goes to Bob, and that helps pay for the propane and the installation that's out there for our use. So that's up on the website right now, right, Bob?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Kay, can you give everybody your number just in case they want to call you and talk to you about any of the preparations?
Or, you know, if you want to talk about Jesus,
that's right.
800-627-3809. Or readymaderesources.com.
So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. This is American Vindicta. Stay frosty. The enemy's out there. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.